Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. If you need service, call 444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. Thank you so much to Carlos Griego and his team at Bosky Plumbing and Heating. Brian Cochran, John Moore Associates in studio for the whole hour today. You're going to know exactly where to place your money after Brian gets done today, right?
I don't know about that. We'll learn some lessons, though.
But you're at least going to have some principles and things for us, as you always do.
Yep, that's the goal.
So many people, Brian, live... I mean, I know that there's people that live paycheck to paycheck. And you've encouraged those people, come up with a spending plan. Come up with a budget. Come up with a savings plan, even if it's just a little bit. So, I mean, all of us know these things, but a lot of us, you know, we'll go out and we'll... Gee, I sure did like that new truck, and boy, they've got that, you know, 2% financing go by for, you know, 18 years on this new car, and it makes your payment $300 a month. And so we just keep doing these things that are not really great for money. So they're not great uses of our money. They're not good stewardship. They're not saving for the future. And then when we have emergencies like COVID-19, we really have some pain.
Yeah, and there's a lot of lessons to be learned in a year like 2020, whether you're a business owner or just a 9-to-5 employee or, you know, basically any industry. And I mean, that was a warning shot for a lot of people that says, hey, time to be responsible with our money because hard times come and the future is always uncertain. You don't know what's coming next.
Since 2016, when we had President Trump elected, interest rates went as low as they've ever been, at least in my experience. They're still below 2-2.5%. At least they were up until a few days ago. Now it seems like there's starting to be some interest rate creep, if I can use that term. So, Brian, what's been happening for the last 4 years is not necessarily going to have anything to do with what's going to happen in the future.
Exactly. And financial markets and the economy can shift rather quickly. And as investment advisors, as financial planners, we're always looking at the market. We're following these things. And we're looking for what is the market trying to tell us now. So a lot of investing, people think it's about predicting the future. But sometimes it's about looking at what the market's giving you today and saying, okay, what am I to learn from what's happening in the markets? And as you mentioned, interest rates last year plummeted. So for those of you who don't follow interest rates and don't really understand, well, what does that mean? Typically, interest rates decline in periods of economic struggle, and they start to rise again in times of economic growth. And what we're seeing right now is what the markets are telling us, and interest rates are dictated by market forces. The markets are telling us that we may be going back to more growth this year. And the reason that happens, the reason interest rates rise during periods of growth is higher growth typically allows the Federal Reserve, who dictates a lot of interest rates, to let rates rise because inflation starts to show up in times of high growth. So what you're seeing right now is the market saying that, not that inflation is going to be problematic necessarily or it's not going to be very high, but you're seeing indicators that the economy is probably going to be growing rather than shrinking. And inflation will probably be going higher rather than lower in the next 12 to 18 months.
And you mentioned the stimulus package that was put out by the Trump administration. Obviously, now Joe Biden's about to release a stimulus package, and you've encouraged us really to use that money to stimulate the economy. Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily money you want to stick in a savings account. You want to go buy groceries with it. You want to inject it into the local economy. I think you even used that word, local economy.
Yeah.
Because in each one of our local economies across the country, it benefits the people maybe in a more direct way because the money is circulating in the community.
Yep. And there was a lot of stimulus thrown at different parts of the economy last year. Individual households, businesses, large corporations, everybody was given an environment where there was more money available for lower interest rates, or they were just outright given checks to spend. And we talked about that a lot last year as those checks were rolling out, that the point of that was not to put it in your bank account. What we've seen as advisors, though, is nearly every single client I talk to in an in-person meeting or a Zoom meeting, we typically talk with our clients twice a year, especially the retirees right now. Everybody is flush with cash. And we see that in the statistics, too. There's something called the money supply. The money supply is all the balance of checking, savings, money markets, cash, the money you and I have available at our disposal to spend. And that's trillions of dollars. But that number right now is probably about $2.5 to $3 trillion higher than it typically would be at this point because of the stimulus. So this is where you get that higher interest rate, higher growth expectation is you've got a country full of people who have been stuck for a year. And some people, even if they wanted to go spend money, didn't feel safe to go out and spend money. And they've got $3 trillion extra sitting in their bank accounts. Now, what do you think happens when you tell all those people, okay, you're free to go out now. You're free to travel. You're safe to travel. You've been vaccinated. Our government's unleashing the economy. The expectation is that could release a lot of pent-up demand, and you're going to have all these people wanting to buy goods, purchase services, and all that money's going to flood the system. And we're also in a period where the inventory is low. You know, we haven't had full production from manufacturing. We haven't had full availability of goods. So you're going to have all this money flooding into a system where there's not a full inventory, and that's how you get the inflation.
You're mentioning cash, and I know a lot of people are sitting back going, well, I don't have a lot of cash. But I do think this is true. Over the last year, I think COVID, there was some silver lining to it. And one of those was that people weren't out going shopping all the time because they were a little nervous, and maybe still are. But a lot of times people have reduced their debt, as you coached us to do. Their credit scores have improved, and I have just experienced this. Credit card companies have been sending me, your balance is now, your limit has now been raised from 5,000 to 10,000.
Yep.
And some people might interpret that as, oh, I have more money now.
Yep.
That's not what it is.
No, it's more opportunity to put yourself deeper in debt. And what a difference this period is compared to that year or two following the 2008 financial crisis. If you recall, in 2008, people were having their credit lines taken away. We had clients coming in saying, hey, I just got a notice that my home equity line of credit is being eliminated or reduced. I just got a notice that my credit card balance is being reduced. People were in a risk-off mentality. What we're seeing right now is Americans – every household's different, but on the whole, Americans are not over-leveraged. They're not overly in debt like they were back in 2007 leading into that financial crisis. That's another reason why we could see high growth. People have good balance sheets. They have cash to spend. They've been waiting to spend, and they cannot wait to go out any longer. They want to go out and travel. They want to go buy stuff. They want to go live their lives. And again, that's leading to this higher growth, higher inflation, higher interest rate environment in the markets.
So I want to ask you about why higher interest rates matter.
So the first thing that comes to mind, and you're very versed in this, is mortgages. People look at higher interest rates and they go, oh, okay, what's the negative? Well, I can earn more on my investments when the interest rates are higher. When I have a bond I buy, or, you know, that's a good thing. But on the flip side, when I have debt, my interest rate goes up. I talked to a person who works in mortgages yesterday, and really sweet lady. And she said, oh, these interest rates are skyrocketing. I'm like, okay, well, let's get our terminology right here. They're still below 3.25%, 3.5% for a 30-year mortgage, which historically is insanely low. And by the way, if your interest rate went up an eighth of a point and you're worried you can't afford that house you're about to buy, that's a sign you're probably buying too much house.
Yes.
Right? So mortgage rates are likely to rise. And the impact of that is it could maybe slightly slow the housing market. Right now, the housing market is doing somewhat well because inventories are very low. So that makes housing prices higher because there's less, you know, less homes available, more people bidding on those homes that are available. Prices go up. But if interest rates go up, that could make affordability shrink a little bit, make it harder for people to buy houses. That could help the housing market normalize a little bit. So that's the first thing we see. The second thing we see is if the Federal Reserve starts to raise interest rates, the Fed raises rates, then you'll start to get more interest on your savings. So the first thing the Federal Reserve did back last year when COVID hit is they cut interest rates to zero. And that helps people finance things more affordably, but it also penalizes the saver. So we could start to see bonds and eventually your bank account start to earn more. So that's a good thing. The third thing we see when rates go up is the competition between stocks that pay dividends and bonds that pay interest starts to change. So for a long time, this last couple of years especially, we were seeing that you were, if you wanted income from an investment, you could get more income by buying stocks that pay dividends rather than buy a bond because bond interest rates are so low. So for example, last year at the bottom of the interest rate market, if you were to loan money to the government for 10 years, you were only getting about 0.5% interest on that.
Mm.
You know, whereas you could turn around and buy a stock and maybe you'd get 2 or 3% or even a little bit more.
Of course, you're talking about U.S. savings bonds, that type of, of instrument.
So that's what we're seeing now is the competition between stocks and bonds is heating up. And some people, if they have the choice, they'd rather take the low risk approach and buy a bond if they can get the same income that they would get from that stock.
But you're still getting that proverbial, I looked at my interest statement on my bank account and it's like 0.025% or something. I mean, it's really, really low.
A couple cents a month.
Maybe. Yeah. And so you sit back and go, all right, yeah, you're going to maybe rates go up. I think here's the funny part. If the Federal Reserve raises rates from 0 to 2%, then the banks out there are going to create a margin for themselves, right? And they want to earn 1-1.5%. So they're going to pay you 0.5% on your savings account, and they're going to make the rest.
Yeah.
That's
they,
the kind
they
of
drag their feet. A good example of that is we're big fans of online savings accounts. They tend to be more competitive with interest rates than some of your big banks or some of even your local banks. And we're big fans of local community banks and credit unions. But for the best yield, it's often good to go look at an online savings account. And for those of you listeners, like, what the heck is that? Just Google online savings account rates, and you'll find different websites that aggregate the interest rates of different online savings. No one's giving you a lot of interest right now. But what we did see a couple years ago when interest rates started to rise prior to COVID, the online savings were rising much faster than your average bank because of what you just mentioned. The average bank was trying to make a spread. The online savings are really in competition with each other, so they really try to attract investors and savers with their interest rate. So, for example, we had a client come in who had a CD from one of the big national banks. At the time, the online savings accounts were doing 2.3%, 2.4%. He walked in with a one-year CD, so illiquid, you know, for a year, and he got offered 0.1% by the bank. and so we can say, okay, do I want 2.4% with full liquidity and FDIC insurance, or do I want 0.1% for a year, stuck with that, and if rates go up, you know, I won't earn more. So if you want to participate in those rising rates, I would encourage you for your larger savings balances, your emergency reserves, you know, your five-figure type savings balances, 10,000 or more, I would look toward those online savings products. They tend to be pretty quick to respond.
Brian, I think IRA products have gotten to be a pretty popular savings mechanism or tool. So when we come back off this break, I want to ask you about if you are, you know, everybody's thinking about, okay, April, we got to file our taxes. We got to do an IRA deposit here pretty soon for that to reduce our income tax. So what we're going to talk about when we come back is maybe how to apply some of the things you just talked about and what you're looking for in an IRA. Okay. So when we get back, we'll be with Brian Cochran, John Moore Associates, Certified Financial Planner. We'll be right back after these messages.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. If you're tired of old school gimmicks and games while shopping for a new car, then experience something new school at Power Ford. We'll give you a better deal and a better experience. The better deal part? We'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico or put $1,000 cash in your pocket. The better experience part? You rated us Best of the City and Ford Dealer of the Year. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
Serving you and your family.
Locally grown, locally owned. Bosca Heating and Cooling. A portion goes back into the community. 444-7200.
For quality service like a breath of fresh air, call Bosca and we'll be there.
From blunder to blessing, this is Roger Patterson with a minute of vision for life. Without Trevon Boykin, the TCU Horned Frogs struggled to find their way in the 2016 Alamo Bowl. Boykin, who was sent home due to an assault charge, had led his team for multiple seasons. Now, backup quarterback Brian Culhalson had a chance to take Boykin's blunder and turn it into one of the biggest blessings for the entire TCU family. Culhalson, who had lost his dad in November of 2015, led his team back from a 31-point deficit to tie the game and win in a third overtime. In a classy, gracious move, Culhalson dedicated the victory to his teammate, Trevon Boykin. You know, the gospel of Jesus Christ does the very same thing for us. Our Lord takes our blunders and turns them into a blessing. Ephesians 1:13 says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit."
You've been listening to Dr. Roger Patterson with A Minute of Vision at visionforlife.org.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Be sure and call Indigo Mortgage for a quote when you are shopping for your next mortgage loan. The team at Indigo Mortgage will explain how you can reduce your fees while getting the best interest rate possible. Call 836-5700 or reach them on the web at indigomortgage.net. Indigo Mortgage, because nobody cares more about your mortgage loan. Ben Lucero, awesome guy at Indigo Mortgage, great supporter of our ministry, not only on the station but here on our show. But, Brian, that plays right into what I'm going to ask you now. I mean, we were talking about the inverse relationship during the break between bond prices. So when the prices of bonds go up, the yield is lower. So let's say that you are investing in Ginnie Mae bonds. So you buy those at a high rate. You're getting a low rate of return. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you're locking yourself into a pretty long-term commitment with those. Explain that to us a little bit.
So when we talk about interest rates rising, just like you explained, what's really happening there is bond prices, when interest rates are rising, bond prices are shifting, right? It's the prices changing of the underlying bonds, and that's what makes interest rates go up or down. So when interest rates are rising, that's because people are selling bonds, mm-hmm. making the yield go up. And if people want to buy bonds, then the yield starts to drop. So bond prices and interest rates work opposite of each other. So what we're seeing right now, so when we say interest rates in the bond market are rising, what that means is investors are saying, I don't want to own bonds as much right now. I'm not willing to pay as much for a bond right now. And that makes those interest rates start to rise. And so we talked about, you know, what do you do? Like, what does that mean? And we talked about, you know, why does it matter? What does it impact? Well, one of the first things you should do if you see rates starting to rise, those of you who have been procrastinating on maybe refinancing your mortgage, if you're at a 4% mortgage rate, 4.5%, anything like that, if you still have the income to qualify and you think you need to refinance, this is a sign that maybe rates are shifting. And if you were hoping for lower rates, it may not happen in this cycle. So maybe it's time to jump on that opportunity. So that's a great segue coming off of Indigo Mortgage there. But it's important when you do that to work with a mortgage consultant who can be objective, honest, look at your situation, because just because your interest rate on your current mortgage is higher than the interest rate on the new mortgage, that doesn't mean you're a great candidate to refinance, because there's expenses to consider, there's your timelines, there's more than just the interest rate as a factor. But it's a good thing to consider, at least look at that, and every situation's different.
And Brian, I'm going to skip all the way down to my bottom of my list and bring up an actual listener's question.
Sure.
Let me read this to you. Listener had a $340,000 15-year loan that started March 1st of 2014, so 7 years ago. The payment is $2,314. That's the principal and interest payment. At the time they got the loan, the principal payment was $1,477. The interest was $837 a month. Now they only have, 7 years later, the balance is $197,232. But here's the interesting thing. $1,820 a month goes to principal and only $494 to interest. So this listener is asking, should I take the $200,000 that I have right now and invest it, continue to invest it, or should I pay off my house?
Yep. I love that you clarified. So when you start a mortgage, you're paying a ton of interest.
Yeah.
A lot of times twice as much interest as you're paying on principal every month. But this is one of those factors on refinancing is, do you want to start that over with a new loan? This example you gave, this person's now paying much more principal then that family's paying interest every month to the bank. So that's a consideration. So this is a good example where personal finance can be a little complex. So this person has $200,000 of mortgage, $200,000 of cash. It's easy to say, well, why not just wipe out my whole mortgage? But there's other considerations. If this person's a small business owner with uncertainty in their business, maybe it makes sense to keep some liquidity, some money that's available to them, rather than put it all in their house and pay off the mortgage. I'm a debt-averse person. We generally coach our clients to avoid debt and be wise about how they use debt. But in a case like this, the other factors I would ask is, do you have an emergency reserve? If not, don't put all your money in your house. Save some of that for emergency reserve. The second thing I would ask is, are you taking advantage of what we call your tax advantage savings opportunities? Things like a 401k, an IRA, because those tax advantages can add a lot of value too. So if the answer is yes, I have my emergency reserve, and the second answer is yes, I'm already taking full advantage of my tax advantage saving opportunities, then the third thing I would ask is, do you have enough money set aside for short-term expenses you can anticipate? Are you buying a new vehicle? Are you doing a home improvement? Are you paying for a kid's college tuition? Those things you should keep cash available for, because they may be in the short term.
And Brian, you're not saying, are you going to go buy an $80,000 Mercedes-Benz? Again, I'm not judging anybody. You can go buy an $80,000 Mercedes-Benz. But what Brian Cochran will tell you is, you ought to be paying cash for that Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah. If you've got to finance that thing for 7 years, you can't afford it. Okay. Yeah. So this person's example, the easy answer is, I'm not sure. I'd have to have more information. Mm-hmm. I would say it's a good goal to continue chipping away at that mortgage, but let's make sure you're following these other principles. Let's make sure you're ready for an emergency. Let's make sure you're not leaving tax advantage savings opportunities on the table. And let's make sure you're not putting money into your mortgage against your mortgage balance that you might need in the next year. Because once that money's in the mortgage, or been paid off in the mortgage, and now it's part of your home equity, it's hard to get it back out.
Brian, is this the type of thing that your team at John Moore will help people with?
This is the kind of conversation we're having every week. You know, of we call it trade-offs. We're trying to judge the trade-offs. This is what financial planning is looking at your circumstances, looking at the resources available to you from your income and your assets, and then judging the trade-offs. So in this case, the trade-off of paying off the house, the good is that you no longer have the interest payment. There's an emotional reward for paying off debt. I've seen that many times. Clients are just euphoric after they pay off their debt. The bad is you've lost some liquidity, right? And that's money you can't use to save for retirement in a tax advantage tool. It's money you can't use for another short-term expense. So judging those trade-offs, we have to look at that family. In this case, you know, again, maybe it's okay to pay that off if they can check those other boxes.
Brian, there's a little derivation of the question I just asked you from a listener, and this is, I'm just going by memory because I didn't write this one down, but they were in a similar situation to this listener, but they're debating, our kids are all moved out. We've got a home that's a little bigger than what we need. Should we go ahead and sell it and maximize it? And I did I'm not acting as an advisor. I've got a number of realtors that I recommended them to call. But in my own research, I went into like realtor.com and Trulia and a couple of these others, and I found that they couldn't replace that house that they have now with a house that's even half as big for what they could sell their house. Now, you know, their house right now, if it was remodeled and updated, you know, it's probably a 30, 35-year-old house, it would command another $200,000 or $300,000. But they could probably sell it right now for $500,000. But replacing it, they'd be going into a much smaller home for about the same money.
And we see that a lot. We see people who intend to downsize and down price. Mm-hmm. They say, oh, we don't need this family home that's 3,000 square feet, you know, whatever the size. We're going to move to a 2,000 square foot house. But then they bump up the quality of the home, which is what you're saying, right? Where now they want luxury features, more comforts. Maybe they're in a community with HOA fees. And all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, you didn't save any money. You have less square footage, which is convenient. And that could still be a good decision for their lifestyle. But financially, it was break even. If they can truly downsize and down price right now, this is a seller's market. This is as much a seller's market in real estate as you may ever see again. So in that case, this is a good downsizing type market. As long as you're confident you can find your next place to live because the inventory is small. If you have a house that you can sell for $600,000 and you want to move to a $300,000 house, you want to do that in a seller's market, in a higher market. This is a tough market to upsize into because the prices are higher. So, you know, every family's different, every situation's different, but what you explain is what we see so often. We have these retired couples that we're going to save all this money by downsizing, and then when the dust settles, by the time they've bought the new furniture, they've paid the moving expenses, they've paid the closing costs, all the expenses that it takes to get into a new home, we look around and go, wait a minute, where's all that extra money we were supposed to have from downsizing? It's just not there.
I want to connect the dots for our listeners too. A lot of people that listen to the show really appreciate your insight, the things that are available on johnmoore.com, your insights tab. But I want to bring everybody's attention too to, you've heard commercials today just on our program about Bosky Heating and Cooling. The reason I want to bring that up is if you're having this discussion, get Carlos Griego and his team to come in and take a look at your house.
Mm-hmm.
And gee, maybe it is time to convert that refrigerated or to refrigerated air from that swamp cooler. Maybe there's some things that they can do to help you retile and remodel and change out some things that are going to be much less expensive than you selling your home and trying to buy a new one. There's times to remodel. So what we're trying to do in our business here, talk to Indigo Mortgage. Call Ben Lucero and his team, and they'll do a whole bunch of evaluation for you. They'll do a loan estimate, which is an LE is a requirement anytime you apply for a mortgage. By the way, if you don't ever get a loan estimate when you talk to a mortgage lender, that is not a mortgage lender you want to deal with, because their federal requirements is that they give you a loan estimate. And that loan estimate is not like the old days. We used to have this form we called a good faith estimate. And I'm truly telling you, mortgage people would just make up the numbers on that. And they would win business. And then when you went to closing, your costs were $3,000 more than the good faith. Well, that is no longer allowed. You have to do a loan estimate. It has to be really accurate. And there's different scenarios. Like you might have today, let's say that the what we call a par rate, where the lender's making, say, 1.5%. No origination fee to you. Let's say that was 3% on a 15-year loan. I don't actually know what it is, so don't quote me on that today because I've not looked at the rates. But there may be some closing costs that you don't have the cash or you don't want to borrow. So they could do a slightly higher rate, say 3.25%, which wouldn't change your payment too much. Now, it does change your payment if you keep that for 15 years, but it's an opportunity for you to maybe cover the cost of the appraisal and the title fee and some of the fees without being charged. Those are the kinds of things that Indigo Mortgage will show you. And then if you've got this couple $100,000 that you're trying to figure out what to do, you take all this information and you go see Brian Cochran.
Yep. And what we see is house purchases, homes and cars are both emotional purchases. You can't get away from that. You think you're being rational. You think you're being logical. But it will always have an emotional component. So the mistakes we see tend to be very expensive in these two categories of homes and cars because they're expensive objects. And it's expensive to transact a home. If you get it wrong and you need to sell the home you just bought, you know, the transactional costs of that are substantial. So what we tell clients is if you're feeling rushed, you need to just take a breath, step back, especially in a market like this where we're hearing people bidding up homes way above asking price. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is not a good, healthy thing for the market to be doing right now. So this is an example where you've got to look at the big picture. You need to slow down, get an objective third party to come in, whether it's a financial advisor, a mortgage advisor, get someone else to come in and inform you of your options and all the factors, because you just hate to see someone step into a home that they either can't afford or they decide later is not the right fit because it is so costly to get in and out of real estate. And what I worry about in a market like what we're seeing today, where it's so hot and people are paying 2-5% above asking price just because there's so little inventory, they're scrambling to buy a house, is it doesn't take much of a market correction. You know, if real estate drops 5%, you're now underwater on that house possibly because you overpaid on the front end. You maybe didn't put much down and now your equity is, you know, less than what you paid. So that's what we worry about in a market like this is people are rushing into significant financial decisions. And like you said, a less than ethical mortgage lender will love to give you that mortgage you can't afford, right?
Yes.
And you're going to end up being trapped in a home and it could devastate your overall finances for years.
I think this is generally true with both car lenders and mortgage lenders. they can always qualify you to borrow more money than you can afford.
What I've heard on that, I couldn't believe this. I was talking to someone who works at a car dealership, and he said a significant percentage of the people that come in are underwater on their car. They're buying a new car, and they will roll the extra debt from the first car into the second. For those of you listening, if you ever do that, if you are ever suggested to do that, you need to walk out of that dealership, because you're now paying a loan that not only is for the car you are driving now, the new car you bought, you're still paying off your old car. That's a sign you've just purchased a car you cannot afford. Please do not do that. I was blown away that, one, that's even possible and legal, and two, that that's frequent. I mean, that's a common practice they do, and that's a bad sign about the lending environment. And I just think it's predatory to a certain extent. And of course, the dealership's incentivized to move the vehicle. So they're going to do these exotic, unusual loans. So you're putting in a 7-year loan. And if you're paying a 7-year car loan, by the way, your car's depreciating faster than you're paying for it. You are setting yourself up to be underwater. And very few people actually keep their car for 7 years.
Many times you've shared with us a couple little budgeting tidbits about home, car. I'm going to ask you to repeat those for us when we come back, Brian. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Brian Cochran. He is a certified financial planner with John Moore Associates. I got the Cochran-John Moore thing mixed up there. Sorry about that. Brian Cochran will be back with us in a minute. Stay with us.
The aftermath of 2020 has left so many of us wrestling with questions about the future and wondering, what's next? Here's Skip Heitzig.
That's a question, by the way, that people ask anytime there is a catastrophe, any kind of catastrophic event causes people to ask the question, what's next? If there's a car accident that happens, well, what's next? I'm going to be able to walk after this? If a disease strikes someone, what's next? Am I going to be cured? If somebody we love dies, we ask, what's next? Am I going to be able to go on?
We want to help you live with confidence, no matter what the future holds, by sending you a powerful collection of Easter weekend messages from Skip Heitzig on the hope of the resurrection.
Anything's possible. If the one who said he's going to die and rise again died and rose again, that means all of the promises Jesus ever made are possible and can come true. That's why it's called The Living Hope.
The Morning That Changed Everything with Skip Heitzig is a DVD collection of 6 life-changing Easter messages. And it's our thanks for your gift of $35 or more today to help connect more people to the living hope of Jesus Christ. To give online securely, visit connectwithskip.com/offer or call 800-922-1888.
Since the Bible is the Word of God, since it does reveal the character of God, since it alone describes salvation and eternal life, since all these things are true of God's Word, how important is it to know what every word of Scripture means? Hi friends, John MacArthur here. There's only one way to tap into the power of Scripture, and that's by immersing yourself in it regularly. Every day on Grace to You, we unpack the Bible verse by verse, precept upon precept, and there's no better way to spend 30 minutes of your day. So join us here on this station for Grace to You.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on KNKT. On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are back on ABQ Connect, and we want to thank Holly and Dave Slade at Dave Slade & Associates Realtors. They are sponsors of the programming on KNKT and ABQ Connect. Call Holly and her team at 342-8100 when you first start thinking about selling your home or buying a new one. Holly and Dave Slade at Dave Slade & Associates, doing business by the book, 342-8100, or reach Holly or Dave on the web at abqhomeseeker.com. Another sponsor that's tying right into what we're talking about, Brian.
It's amazing.
Brian, let's go back now. I rudely interrupted kind of a list of, hey, with this information, what do we do? And you've already talked to us a little bit about, hey, if you haven't refinanced yet, it's time to go refinance.
Yep. So again, we're talking about, what do I do financially in a rising interest rate environment? And that's what we're starting to see now. So the first thing we talked about, yeah, if you haven't refinanced already, don't sit around waiting for rates to get better. They're not getting better. They're going higher. The second thing is be wary of long-term bonds. So we talked a minute ago about how when bond prices go down, interest rates go up. When there's pressure on interest rates, you see a decline in bond prices. So you can lose money on your bonds in a rising rate environment. The most susceptible bonds are your long-term bonds. So if you own a bond fund, a mutual fund that owns bonds, or individual bonds that aren't going to mature for 15, 20, 25 years, you will lose more principal. You'll lose more of the value of your investment on the long-term bonds. So some people get greedy about the interest rate. So if I take a longer-term bond, yes, I get more interest because I'm holding the bond for a longer term. It's more uncertainty. But the trade-off there is the downside risk. So if you bought a long-term bond a year ago, interest rates on that bond might have been 2-2.5%. Well, in this recent environment where interest rates rose, if you own that long-term bond, it might have dropped in value 10-15%. So you've got to be careful about that inverse relationship between interest rate and bonds. So if you want to own bonds, that's fine. You should still have a diversified portfolio that can include bonds. But be wary of the very long-term bonds if you think rates will continue to rise.
Brian, I was noticing at least some public information, press release type stuff coming out about municipalities offering bonds, trying to finance themselves out of COVID. Those are all long-term bonds.
Many are. And there's an open market, so you can still buy bonds that were issued 10 years ago that are maturing in 5 years, or, you know, you can find shorter-term municipal bonds. And the low interest rate environment, we talked about refinancing your mortgage. Mm-hmm. There are municipalities that are refinancing their debt too. So they're calling back some of the bonds that were higher interest and then reissuing bonds at low interest rates. It's one of the ways governments can manage their balance sheet. And they should do that. That's good stewardship of public resources to do that. But yeah, you have to be careful. Those municipal bonds, corporate bonds, government bonds, all of these are subject to the fluctuations in interest rates that you see.
I have a feeling that people right now have gone to the bank while listening to this radio show, and they're taking money out of the bank so they can stuff it under their mattress.
which is kind of ironic. We've been talking to clients lately, and we've heard some people say, oh, I see rates are going up. That scares me. I'd like to have more cash. It's like, well, wait a minute. One of the last places you want to be in rising rates environments is cash, because your cash is not typically going to grow in value very much, especially right now. So rates are rising, inflation's coming, and your purchasing power is not growing. You're not growing the value of your assets. So the third thing we want to talk about to do, so you're in a rising rate environment. You got to refinance your mortgage before rates get any higher. You want to be careful, make sure you don't own long-term debt that can drop in price. The third is to be careful looking at your portfolio and be wary and cautious of high growth stocks. What I mean by high growth is not stocks that have gone up in price a lot in the last year. I'm talking about companies that have high earnings expectations for the future. So what we've seen lately is companies like the big technology companies that have really been leading the market for the last several years have fallen out of favor recently, because in periods of rising rates, those future earnings that people are pricing in today, that's what stock markets do. They raise the price of stocks in anticipation of future growth. That future growth is discounted differently. It's valued differently when interest rates are up. So if you've maybe really enjoyed some profits in some of those high growth technology companies, you need to reset your expectations a little bit. It's not that they're bad companies or they're unattractive, but if rates continue to rise, growth companies sometimes struggle a bit. And we've already seen that in the last couple months.
Well, that might be particularly true since March of last year, because people that stayed in the market when you told them to stay in the market, they've seen this incredible recovery of those stocks. I don't say that they've seen a lot of growth, because what they really did is recover what they had lost.
Yeah, and really through late March last year, which is when the market bottomed, up through really the last couple of months, those stocks really led the way. So again, it's not to say those were bad investments or that they won't perform decently going forward, but they have more of a headwind against their performance when interest rates are rising. So that's the good things to do. Check your portfolio. Look for those long-term bonds. Look for those high-growth stocks. Don't drop them altogether, but maybe rebalance a little bit, shift away. Be wary of those risk factors, and then look at the way your debt's structured. Always good to be paying down your debt, but sometimes you got to restructure it and do that refinance. The key things we recommend that you do not do, we talked about this a second ago, be careful not to hold too much cash. Now, don't get me wrong. We are huge fans, as we talked about before, we're huge fans of emergency reserves. That's 3 to 6 months of your monthly expenses should be in the bank. That helps cushion you in a time of uncertainty, like what we went through with COVID, or just personal uncertainty. Maybe you have a disability or something happens where you cannot earn your traditional income. So we should have cash for that. But what we're seeing right now is we have some people coming in because of COVID. They haven't been able to spend their money. They're piling up cash that goes beyond their emergency reserve. It's cash they don't intend to spend in the next 12 to 24 months. So don't hoard lots of cash right now, because if interest rates start to rise, if inflation is coming, you don't want to be yielding 0.25% on your savings account while the cost of living is going up by 3%. Moving backwards.
I want to inject a question again from a listener that has to do with fixed annuities. They are being advertised like crazy all over the place, TV, Facebook, the radio. People are talking about fixed annuities. Why is that a big thing right now?
Well, you might be hearing it more than I'm hearing it, because advertising is very targeted, and fixed annuities are often marketed towards people who are over 50. So sorry to pick on you, Jim.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
But you've got a few more gray hairs than me right now. So fixed annuities, it's like anything. Got to look at the trade-offs. We mentioned that before with the mortgage payoff. You know, what's the trade-off? So fixed annuities, for those of you who aren't familiar with them, or if you've heard about them but don't really know what they are, annuities are products issued by insurance companies. They're a contract where you give the insurance company money. You're issued a contract where you're guaranteed a certain interest rate. So the question from the listener is, are fixed annuities safe? Well, if by safe you mean, will I lose my principal value? The answer is yes, they are safe. You will not have risk to your principal. Couple factors to consider. You know, if interest rates go up, how likely is that annuity to pay me more? So am I stuck with a low yielding interest rate? Oftentimes those fixed annuities yield a little bit more than your bank savings or even a CD. So sometimes it's a banker that says, oh, our CDs kind of stink right now, but let's put you in this annuity. So here's the trade-offs. First off, you need to make sure it's a reputable insurance company. Fixed annuities are not FDIC insured like bank products. Okay, so you need to look at that. How do we know if it's reputable? There's different ratings agencies that come in and look at the balance sheets of these insurance companies. Standard & Poor's does that. Moody's, Fitch, they provide, there's different companies. So if you're looking, if you've been proposed an annuity by someone who says you should buy it, go to Google, look up ratings for XYZ insurance company, and you'll be able to find that very easily. So that's number one. You're not relying on the federal government to back your investment, so the insurance company needs to be solid. The second consideration is, how long am I stuck with this annuity? Almost all annuities have some term, a surrender period it's called, where you cannot take more than usually 10% of your money back without facing a penalty. And in the first couple years, that penalty could be 10%. It could be, I've seen some that actually were as high as 19% penalty, believe it or not. So how long is my money restricted? Okay, so if liquidity is a priority for you, if you want access to that money, understand the rules. And again, most of them have a provision where you can get 10% of your money back, but can I put away 90% of my money without the expectation of getting it for 5-7 years? And those surrender periods are often 5 to 7 years. We see 10. I've seen some 20s. So the fact that these are marketed towards seniors, if you have a 75, 80-year-old, if you're 80 years old, how comfortable are you locking up your money for another 7 years? That's a consideration. So those are some things to think about. And then we go back to the idea of, if we're going to a inflationary environment, am I stuck in an investment that's yielding 2% when inflation could go up to 3%? And am I going to actually be losing purchasing power? So I'm giving up liquidity, but I'm also maybe not in a competitive yield. If all those questions, if you can answer all those questions, say, I don't need access to the money, I feel like the yield's competitive, this is a good company, then fixed annuities could be a good fit. Where I get worried about fixed annuities is, first off, they're almost always sold on commission, which means there's an inherent conflict of interest in the person who's selling you the annuity. Okay, that doesn't mean it's not the right product. It doesn't mean you shouldn't buy it. It just means that you are stepping into an environment with a significant conflict of interest. The second thing is, they're often marketed as sort of a magical instrument. There's certain fixed annuities that tie their performance somewhat to the market. And they're pitched as, you can get all the upside of the market without the downside. And that goes back to that good old time-tested principle. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is, right?
Yes.
So just be cautious about that and ask these questions. If someone's proposing an annuity to you, say, okay, what's the surrender period? How long do I have to lock my money up? What happens if interest rates go up? Will I earn a higher interest? You know, understand these things before you step into some of these products.
What I like most about talking to Brian Cochran with John Moore Associates is that behind everything you've heard today and behind everything else that he says and everything he counsels his clients on, there are biblical principles. We're going to talk about some of those when we come back. So stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, are we making any progress with a creationist view of the unborn?
Yes, it seems we are, Chris, although there's positive and negative steps being taken. More and more people are being educated on the personhood of the unborn child and the need to protect it. Even efforts to clone humans are helping in the sense that there's much scientific evidence now for the unique personhood of the fertilized egg. Unfortunately, this doesn't always carry the day with legislatures and judges, for they often rule that such a person has no individual rights and can be aborted. We yearn for a day when even the courts go back to Genesis for their thinking.
Thank you, Dr. John.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
Listen, as Skip Heitzig applies Bible truth to our world in this hotspot.
I am intrigued by that verse because I think this verse could be said about many pulpits.
Many pulpits.
Even in our own country. The Word of God was rare. There was no widespread revelation.
This is the issue.
The issue.
Sad, but true.
Most contemporary preaching is marked by a lack of confidence in Scripture. Scripture isn't preached. It's not, thus says the Lord, here's the word of the Lord. I think that the modern church has become more fascinated with technology rather than theology.
Find more from Skip at connectwithskip.com.
Connectwithskip.com. And I think we need to get back to good theological through the Bible, doctrinal preaching to strengthen believers, especially in this day and age.
Grow in your faith with Skip's reading plans. Search for Skip Heitzig in the YouVersion Bible app.
Hi, this is Adam Holtz, and you're listening to Plugged In.
This hotel has been host to 4 presidents, 3 popes, 2 kings, and we're about to host the wedding of the century.
Animated Frenemies Tom and Jerry are back, this time in a new movie called, what else, Tom and Jerry, now in theaters and streaming on HBO Max. Tom and Jerry have moved to New York City. Tom's looking for work, while Jerry's moved into a swanky hotel. That's when Tom gets hired by a 20-something named Kayla to clean up the place's rodent problem. Cue the comedic chaos. Cartoony violence fills this hybrid live-action meets animation movie. Humans misuse God's name a few times, too. Otherwise, Tom and Jerry is exactly what you'd expect. So we're giving it a 4 out of 5 for family friendliness. Read the full review at PluggedIn.com/radio. I'm Adam Holtz for Focus on the Family's Plugged In Movie Review.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Certified financial planner Brian Cochran, fellow basketball aficionado in studio. Your Portland Trailblazers look pretty good.
Yeah, they've had some good streaks. And Damian Lillard going to the All-Star game. He was the first pick on the reserves by the LeBron team, so that'll be fun. I was watching...
by the way, there's no way he should be a reserve. He should be a starter.
Yeah, who's the better guard? I'm not going to get into that. I don't want to yell on the air. I was reading about the All-Star game coming up, and it kind of made me nostalgic about old All-Star games when I was younger. And one of my favorite years was 2001. Actually, if you go to YouTube, you can watch the 2001 NBA All-Star game, and you've got Kevin Garnett throwing alley-oops to Kobe Bryant, and Tim Duncan, Chris Webber, and Kevin Garnett playing on the same lineup at the same time. I mean, those were my idols growing up playing basketball. So, yeah, the good old days. Jason Kidd throwing alley-oops, you know.
Well, you're mentioning times. A bunch of guys that are either in the Hall of Fame or will be.
It should be, yeah.
So there's a lot of great players. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about the mixed messages that are coming at us. And I mentioned that John Moore Associates, really you have time-tested principles, which are biblical, which is what you base all of your advice to people on about how to spend money. So, Brian, when you hear these things, I was mentioning to you that part of my routine here is I'll take our show today. Mm-hmm. Steve, our engineer, will upload that to our podcast site, and then we put together some graphics and some other things, and then we end up posting it to abqconnect.online, and then that's linked to our Facebook page. There are hundreds of financial advertisements right now that have to do with fixed annuities. They have to do with, gee, you better do this in the next 10 days or this will happen to you and you'll lose all your money. I mean, those are the ads.
Yep.
So how do you know what's true, Brian?
Well, the first thing you can do is just look at it and say, does this seem rational? So here's an email I'm actually pulling up right now. I received this from a client this morning. He forwarded it to me as well as another trusted advisor to him. And he said, what do you make of this? The headline, all caps, bold font, dump your cash now, all caps, right? And he's talking, you know, this article is talking about the complete collapse of the financial markets and cash will be worthless and yada, yada, yada. So he says, you know, this scared this guy. You know, he's in his 70s. He's accumulated all the assets he's going to live on the rest of his life. And he's wondering, should I put any concern behind this? And I look down, and of course, it's a familiar name. There's these newsletters and advertisers that just basically every 3 months send the same thing. And this particular one, I'm not going to name it because that's just not necessary, but this particular one, I've seen the same headlines from them for the last 10 years straight, every 3 months. And what they'll typically do is predict something coming around the corner. It's not tomorrow, but it's next year or 6 months from now. And people pay to subscribe to these, but they're usually trying to sell you something. And they're usually wrong. I mean, it's just, it's meant to breed fear and have people act on fear. And human beings, God made us, unfortunately, the way we're designed, we respond to fear. It's one of the best motivators for us to act. And
it really sounds to me like the news media in general, Brian.
Yeah, I think there's some news media sources that try to do a fair amount of information, or they'll put on people on both sides of an argument. Some of these advertisers, though, are just terrible. And we get clients sometimes that really try to press us to tell us what's going to happen next. You know, they think that's what our review meeting's about, is to figure out what's going to happen next. And the first thing we always tell them is the biblical penalty for prophecy gone wrong is death by stoning.
Yes.
And as followers of Christ and students of the Bible, I'm not interested in that.
No.
But there's also scripture that talks about this. Proverbs 27:1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So, does that mean we ignore what could happen in the future? No, we don't. We're not reckless. We want to be good stewards of God's resources that He shares with us. But are we supposed to be fearful? Are we supposed to be boastful about our predictions for tomorrow? No. Our calling is to have an eternal perspective and be wise stewards today, with that eternal perspective of, you know, what would please the Lord and how we manage His resources. And I see so many people, just these two verses alone, could just, I wish they could read it every morning, because every day they're looking for something else to be fearful about.
I hear people advertising, my investment strategy yielded 30% for my clients in the last year. Well, almost no duh, in the last year, if you were in the stock market, mm-hmm. you did well.
Yeah.
So that actually means nothing. As yep. soon as you see someone talking about their past success, and that's why you should invest with me in the future, that's a red flag.
Yeah, and people struggle with that, because how else do you make your decision about where to invest if not to look at the track history, right? And that's one of the hardest things about investors. Every financial advisor, every investment manager has to disclose that past performance does not guarantee future results. I think I actually have it tattooed on me somewhere. I mean, it's a constant disclosure we have to make. If you look at our website, one thing you will not find is our track history on investments. And it's not because our investments have not performed well, or at least satisfactorily. We have 99% retention. We must be doing something right. We're not bombing with our investments with our clients. But we don't want people to come to us because of past performance alone. as an advisor, we're there to provide wisdom. We're there to provide a service. Okay. And if someone's leading with their past performance, that kind of worries me, because there's no way, no matter how well they've done in the past, there is no way they can guarantee you they're going to continue that in the future. And what you tend to find in the markets, and research has shown this over time, if you look at the best performing mutual fund managers over time, the ones that have the most to brag about with their past performance, if you catch them at their peak and then look at their returns over the next few years, it's usually not a good story for the next few years. So, and you see this again and again in different market cycles, those who are just knocking it out of the park over the last 5 years typically underperform over the next. So you don't want to be performance chasing constantly, which is what a lot of people do. Some people do that by jumping to different mutual funds. Some do it by switching to different financial advisors. So, you know, they get 1 year of what they consider to be lackluster performance and they're on to the next. We don't have that problem so much because we only bring on clients that are choosing us because of our values, our qualifications, our service that we provide. And if our investments perform well, that's great too. And we're not incentivized to put them in strategies that don't perform well. But that's so important. So if you're looking for an investment advisor, if you're choosing an investment, if all you're looking at is the past performance, you're setting yourself up for disappointment.
I hope that people will listen to our MoneyWise program, which John Moore Associates underwrites for us here at KNKT. Kingdom Builders is an accountability organization that you're part of, and you have CPAs, you have other investment advisors that are part of that. That's something that people can look for.
KingdomAdvisors.com. If you go to KingdomAdvisors.com, you can do an advisor search. So wherever you're listening today, you can put in a zip code and it will show you advisors who have been trained in the application of biblical financial principles, and people who would share your values. And that's what we tell people. You know, you don't have to be a Christian to work with us, but you should know that the values of your advisor, that matters.
Yes.
And you don't want to work with an advisor who's directly counter to your values. Or if they're not willing to share your values, that's probably not a good sign either. So, you know, that's what this comes down to. And what MoneyWise does so well is that they really every day are teaching these basic principles. You know, a lot of people think, I'll be financially set if I just find that perfect investment, you know, or if I get out of the market before a market drop. I have yet to see a single client of mine not retire successfully because of market volatility. But I have seen clients that overspent, clients that misused debt, clients that gifted too much to their children because they weren't willing to let the children suffer for their own mistakes financially. All of those things I've seen pull people back from their goals. What I don't see is market volatility hurting them.
One of these days we'll have to have a whole show about how to give money to your children.
Oh, goodness.
Because that's got to be...
You got 3 hours?
Well, the funny thing is, we'll just divide it up into three different shows. How's that?
Yeah. It's a big topic. It definitely is.
Yeah. Well, and that's because each one of your children is a different human being. That's one of the things that was always fascinating to me. I have 5 children. You would think that maybe 2 of them would be the same. No. They are, you don't get to practice being a parent. Every single one of them is different. You've got 2 boys right now. They're going to be different sizes, different strengths, different intellects, different interests. And it's fascinating how God does that.
If one wants chocolate, the other one wants vanilla every time. They're always the opposite. And it's a blessing. What a great thing to have in your household.
Yeah. Yeah. And were you raised with siblings?
I have 3 sisters and we are also very different.
I didn't know we had that in common. I have 3 younger sisters.
Yeah, I have 1 older, 2 younger. They're all a total nightmare. No, they're great.
Fortunately, my sisters are really neat ladies. I have 2 of my 3 sisters live here in Albuquerque, so I get to see them a little bit, my nephews and all their kids. But we definitely need to do a show on that, Brian.
Yep. Well, and one of my sisters is a personal trainer and a health coach, and she actually has a video on our website, johnmoore.com/insights, if you want to learn more about health and wellness.
So johnmoore.com, click on Insights tab. You can get all kinds of information about life in general, walking with the Lord, and how to invest your money safely. Brian, thank you so much. Safe travels to you this weekend.
Thank you.
ABQ Connect is presented.
presented by Bosque Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosque Heating and Cooling. Locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.